Indeed, yes, it is time to leaf through the Sunday papers, a task made all the more compelling by the surrounding electoral matters and the small fact that in this past week, the papers themselves have become part of the great political narrative. Thursday, well, that brought us Team Rudd as Hogan's heroes in the Daily Telegraph. So by Sunday, well, Sooty and Sweep, The Young and the Restless, F Troop, none of the above, sadly, just the routine, incisive Sunday journalism. In this morning's Sunday Herald Sun, for example, we read that the Prime Minister has been quick to act to staunch potential scandal.
Prime Minister Kevin Rudd has dumped two Labor candidates, including a man who abused a woman in a wheelchair.
There is a backstory.
Mr Rudd demanded the resignations of Jeff Lake, the candidate for the Victorian seat of Hotham, and Queensland candidate for Kennedy, Ken Robertson. The Herald Sun revealed on Saturday that Mr Lake had been forced to apologise to fellow Monash councillor Cathy McGee in 2002 for calling her a slut at a council meeting.
Say what you like about Australian politics, it rarely fails to deliver as an intellectually charged contest of policy and ideas, for more of which we turn in breathless anticipation to the Sunday Telegraph, where we read that
you can own the Prime Minister's personal brass toilet roll holder as cash-strapped Labor stages furniture fire sale.
The roll holder in question is part of an auction sale of various chairs, desks, goods and chattels.
Despite presiding over a $30 billion budget deficit, the government has spent millions relocating from its Sydney ministerial into a $670 million glass tower down the road in Bly Street.
Everything must go.
To help fund the move, over 1,000 separate pieces of office goods from the old Phillip Street offices are being auctioned this week.
But there's more to this election campaign than an entire nation reaching for their roll holders. The polling, for example, has not been kind to Rudd's ALP. As the Sunday Telly reports,
Kevin Rudd's record as Prime Minister is a dead weight around Labor's re-election hopes, with support for the ALP going backwards after the first week of the campaign.
And with that week behind us, we look forward to week two. Beginning in earnest tonight with the first leaders' debate, a contest billed in this morning's Sun Herald as
bookish nerd versus boxing blue,
which is a help for those of us struggling to adequately define the current political moment. And it's where, for this moment, we might leave the election campaign trail. It's not as if there isn't other news. Top of the paper, in fact, for this morning's Sun Herald, is the revelation that
boys as young as 8 have decided they want to look fit and sporty and think they will be happier if they do, a new body image study has found.
The Sunday Age, meanwhile, is casting its eye on national security.
Statistics released by Australia Post have revealed Australia's domestic security agency is concentrating its efforts on a very small number of terrorist and espionage targets.
It's reassuring, almost to the point of being charming, that in this age of global mass electronic surveillance, Australia's security agencies are also keeping an eye on the country's letterboxes.
Public reporting by Australia Post reveals that in 2011-12, the Postal Corporation made only 54 disclosures of addresses and other external postal details to the security agency.
Elsewhere, well, concerns continue over the more mundane security reality of the pretty much unfettered access the US administration has to pretty much anything anyone ever typed into a computer anywhere. As The Guardian reports,
Barack Obama announced the first public review of US surveillance programs since 9/11 on Friday, in what amounts to the president's first concession that the mounting public concern in response to disclosures by whistleblower Edward Snowden justifies reform.
A fact that may explain the sudden popularity, at least among 54 Australian terror threats, of good old-fashioned snail mail.